Welcome and thanks for joining me for another episode of the Nutrition with Nick podcast. Today's conversation is with PJ Thompson. He's a leader in the Austin, Texas running community and a coach at Runner's World Magazine and Runner's World Plus. I really enjoyed our conversation today and I hope you will too. If you do, please share this episode and give this podcast a rating. Also, please check out the affiliates in the show notes for discounts on high quality supplements and running clothes. I'm also currently accepting a limited number of new nutrition coaching clients. So if you're looking to take your performance to the next level, consider a nutrition-focused approach. If you'd like more information, reach out to me at nutritionwithnick.com and on Instagram at nutritionwithnick. Thanks again for tuning in and enjoy the episode. Welcome to another episode of the Nutrition with Nick podcast. Today, we're going to be talking with PJ Thompson, who is a good friend of mine from Austin, Texas. And welcome, PJ. Thanks for coming on.
Yo, absolutely. I'm happy to be here with you, Nick. Happy to catch up and chat all things nutrition and training and life.
Yeah, of course. Do you want to, for the audience, just tell people a little bit about you, who you are, what you do?
It's like the awkward part where you talk about yourself. Yeah. But just, you know, introducing myself, as you said, PJ Thompson here in Austin, Texas, I'm a runner of, many marathons and 5Ks and fun runs. And, I mention a lot in my own running group, St. Elmo Runners, where, I don't really talk about paces. I mean, I think if my mentality is, get out there and just, move. So, I've been in, professionally have been in like sales and advertising for a long time, did a brief 2-year stint in the classroom, pandemic teaching, as I call it, literally started as the pandemic in 20, started and left just last November. So we can talk about how running fit into my teaching and pandemic schedule. I have a 2-year-old son at home, so that keeps it, fun. And, as far as side gigs, I do both content, social, and coaching for Runner's World. I'm a Lululemon ambassador, along with Patagonia Austin, and working with their like community specific initiative. So, run group leader, dad, sales person slash, trying to invest in the community from both a running and fitness and health perspective. So a little bit all over the place in a good way, I hope.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it kind of took me a while to get a pin of like what exactly you did when I first met you. I was like, this guy's everywhere.
I don't think I really don't talk about work like in like the group runs or even post about it socially, like, oh, I had a tough day at work and I mentioned my workplace. So that is always a question of like, what would you say it is you do here? What do you do professionally? So that's that. So I'm, digital advertising. That's kind of my, my space. That's the paycheck, but running is definitely the, I don't know, they call it the side gig. That's my non-work time. Everything else is, now dad life and running related.
Yeah. So, whenever I first met you, I found out whenever I was living in Austin, in a bunch of running groups that I participated in, I came to a St. Elmo's run, which happened to be like within running distance from my house. So it was like, perfect, cool group of people, just run to the run and then like, meet some people and, do a little jog or whatever. What is your experience, being a group run leader in Austin?
Yeah. So that's, the word leader in that, and I certainly know what you mean. It's mentally a place that, you have to, I guess, call it accept. Where, I started St. Elmo Runners out of, really the coach I was with at the time, I'd have my usual Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday schedule. So, hills, track, repeats during the week, and then long run Saturday. So a lot of the workouts were very specific, call it sometimes grueling. So he said, you need a midweek just off day, like recovery, active recovery day, easy miles, basically. So that's where literally St. Elmo was born out of. I was training for Berlin, and, there wasn't a running group in my immediate area where I could easily get out of the door and train with. So I was like, there's not one in area. I saw that both a hotel and condos and restaurants and everything were going to, you know, over time be developed in this area, this part of, you know, not far from me. So I was like, that's where I'm going to start the running group at. So that first one, I was posting it out there for a couple of weeks, you know, seeing that not a group existed. I was like, this is it. The community is starving for it. Let's go. So show up to that first one. There is no one there. Me and the wife. That's it. So I was like, all right. So it was initially an outlet for myself because I needed to get the work in. So, you know, I'm going to be here. Encourage other people to come out. Both people who have long lived in the neighborhood, recently relocated, started to see more and more people come. So that's when I was like, all right, I'm going to have to start putting a little bit more of a structure around this from actually calling out what the route is, not changing the start times week to week, eventually, you know, having a shirt or something. So like calling us official, but then getting into, I guess, that conversion of like a leader, you know, in the Austin area. That for me meant like connecting with other running groups. Mm-hmm. And that's where kind of this evolution, even now, like St. Elmo is really about to lean into for the second half of the year, where it is more so about connecting with other groups locally, bringing attention to causes that, you know, matter to people that we are facing, like, you know, as a human being and not just, you know, those who are chasing marathon or 5K times. Mm-hmm. So that's really, you know, what, I, you know, the group is planning to lean into. So I think kind of the leader aspect of it is something I'm just leaning more into as a identity, I guess you can call it. So it's been a long road so far, but I mean, it's become more fulfilling in the last 2 years because it has not been simply about we meet, we run, that's it. It's like we meet, we run, but I say like, come for the miles, stay for the conversation. Mm-hmm. Just being in sales for a long time, being in people management for a long time. If you run with me, like I am asking you the personal questions, profound questions. Like I'm listening for tone in your voice and asking like, how was your work day? And like, you know, how things been? And like, if I notice anything to just my people management side, like I dig in, like, I mean, I feel we're giving our time to go run. So like, I want to find out more about you. You find out more about me. And I guess that's become a part of my leadership style. I mean, there's a whole lot in that. But it's definitely evolved over time on what like a leader has maybe meant to me.
Yeah. So I am thinking about what it might be like in your shoes whenever you first started a group run, just kind of for yourself, but encouraging others. And then it turned into an actual, like, you know, pretty decent size group, and then it became official. And now you have to be organized and provide structure, because I know of some other, you know, group runs, you know, where I'm at in Spokane, back home in Austin, where, you know, they're small, like they don't do like what you said you feel like you had to do as a leader, was they don't connect with other runners or whatnot. It's just, you know, it's just a group of people that run, anybody's welcome, but we don't connect with other people. But you did that. So how, like, what was your experience like taking on those responsibilities like that you kind of put on yourself of, you know, connecting with others and being more structured?
So I mean, really the somewhat, and it's somewhat also self-imposed, but I guess you can call it the difficult part in that is I still have a day job. So for what I know I want to pour into like the running group, and in terms of like where I see gaps, not just in Austin, but nationally, even internationally, because I mean, I follow groups from all over the world, just always trying to see, you know, from a creative standpoint, what they're doing, to the messaging, their stances on certain issues, the type of how they handle themselves. Are they more of a Saturday long run? Are they a track Tuesday group? Are they a donut, you know, meet at a donut shop kind of group? So I'm always trying to do that, but really connecting with other groups has been, one, it's certainly been positive. People are receptive to, you know, partnering, but I've done it from a place of like, you know, how can we call it uplift each other, as opposed to like, I'm trying to, I don't know, call still members or something like that. You know, it's more of like we were running the same roads, the same trails. the same races, same gyms, all of those things. Clearly,
so much overlap.
Austin, Austin's 1.5 million people. But I mean, it is still very small when you think about the running community. Mm-hmm. Many of the roads we run are the same. So with that, it's just like, I'm seeking to connect for the purpose of like growing this entire running community. You know, you're in Washington, so, you know, not far from, you know, places, you know, of course, like Portland, Eugene, you know, if I get down to LA, if I go to Chicago, New York, Boston, you know, many of these places, Austin is certainly a running city if you are here. So it's like that, my mindset is like, how do I, for my own run group and others, lift this running community and its recognition as a true running city, as opposed to like, you know, it's cool to go for bachelor or bachelorette parties and tech companies that are moving here. But what is, you know, what else do, what, how else is Austin known besides like the capital of Texas? So if I can do a part in kind of elevating the running community, I mean, that's literally kind of how my mind thinks. And just back to my professional side, like I think growth, I think development, you know, been in sales and management a long time, so I'm always like, what's next? I don't do well with complacency, so it's like, how do we build, grow together, as I'm just like one small, you know, part in that like machine of Austin's running community.
I love that. I love that because I fell in love with running in Austin. So, you know, whenever I left, I, you know, people asked me like, what do you miss about Austin? Or, you know, I'm from Houston for people that are listening, but I lived in Austin for several years. But what I miss about Austin, it's like the running mostly. Like there's a lot of stuff, fun stuff, but the running community, the running trails, the availability of just like really good runs and running groups is what I miss the most. So, and I feel like a lot of people don't really associate Austin with running, but it's like, it's just right on that brink of like being a running city, like you said, you know, because I feel like, what are some of the big running cities? I know that, you know, New York is a big running city. I mean, I don't even
certainly
know.
Boston.
Yeah. Well, of course, Denver. Boston.
Yeah, of course, Denver, LA, Chicago.
Yeah.
I mean, they're certainly almost like any other top 25 US city, almost any, and you throw Austin in the mix, but you don't think of it as a running, you know,
there's so much city. There's so much other stuff going on that the running is like the last on the top 10 things of, you know, to do and run in Austin or whatever.
Right. It's bachelorette parties. It's UT football. Thankfully now it's FC Austin, which I'm coming here from Dallas, like where there are six different professional sports teams. I'm glad the Austin finally has a professional sports team. So that, I mean, that's been awesome to see. But, you know, outside of like the many concerts that, you know, come to Austin, you know, ACL, South By, it's just like, you know, that's where the party entertainment, you know, idea or I guess feelings of what Austin is certainly come from or fuel that. But it's like, no, like we actually have some pretty amazing trails to run around Austin or just outside the city. You know, if you get off of just the downtown like hike and bike trail, like there's a network of different, you know, branches that you get into.
I mean, amazing.
Some of the road, absolutely. I mean, some of the road stretches are ones you can really get out, open it up and like cook. It's not like just downtown. So love the, you know, the running stores that are here in Austin. They all, you know, bring a different experience. The running group certainly, you know, all have a different personality and a vibe. And you know, that's kind of just where,
definitely true.
Where we're just trying to, I mean, I wouldn't say certainly not try to fit in. I mean, I've been a bit of a like contrarian in my entire life where it's like go against the grain a little bit. Which just saying going against the grain and you being from Houston, I'm sure you can appreciate. We've always wanted to do things. It's always like, what is everyone else doing? All right, let's do the opposite of that. Let's have some influence from, you know, groups that I see. You know, like I said, Boston, Chicago, New York, LA, this, that, the other. If they're morning, weekday, weekend groups that run at midnight, you know, in LA, graffiti run, you know, whatever that may be. North End in Virginia, who does, has massive groups that come. Anyways, just taking a little bit from each one and saying, all right, let's do something similar, but how do we make it different that still fits running, that, you know, isn't a case of just being different for the sake of it. That touches on more than we meet up, we run miles. Like I want people to get to know each other beyond just the miles, beyond just what race are you training for next.
Yeah.
Literally, I'm going to ask, like, what job are you interviewing for? What do you think you're taking into that job? Because again, just being in a manager seat for so long, I now have a young kid. So I'm asking those questions of like balancing fatherhood, parenthood with still trying to have a consistent run schedule. It's like, mm-hmm. I'm going for my own like BQ this December at CIM. So it's like, I have a 2-year-old now, but
yeah,
I've never had to balance a serious, 18, 20 week marathon plan, with a kiddo who, has his teething spells and like, well, it doesn't look like I'm getting out the door. I have plans too. So yeah, it's like a lot going on in how I try to engage with people in the environment atmosphere I try to create in our running group.
Yeah. How do you manage that as a new father, somebody that's kind of transitioning? I know that whenever you had your kid, that's whenever I was still in Austin, like we were running together, and that was when you got your new job. So that's a big transition. And now you're back into this new position that you're in. That's another new transition. And now you're training through the summer. And now you say you're trying to qualify for Boston. So how do you manage that training?
Yeah. So in small bits. So I try not to do too much at once, because literally with life in general moves fast, but now even with a kid for me, we make plans and all right, guys, sorry, we're now showing up 30 minutes late, or we're just not coming because, he's having a moment. I take it literally half a day or a day at a time. How much I try to automate as much as I possibly can, from literally programming the coffee machine to go off at 5:30 so I can save a few minutes to do it in the morning, to reminder so I don't forget something. I don't necessarily delegate, but I am always trying to like close in terms of conversations, like what can I do? What are the action items? What can you take off the plate? Literally like a partnership
in
a lot of my relationships. So it's like, help me save time through automation, scheduling. I try to limit my, how much I have to think from like what I am literally even wearing to shoes I am rotating. I'm like now getting in a place where like
we're all black, gray, red.
Exactly. It's like I'm giving a TED talk or something. Like I'm just going straight black shirt and like, black pants, but like keep it simple. But I have to limit how much, I'm not going into closet and like spending minutes in there thinking about what running shoes I'm going to rotate. Like I've fallen into a few that I stick to because I just am literally trying to save seconds and then automating things around the house where I can. That's kind of it. And with work, it's like, okay, we're, hybrid, remote, but in person. So, I'm trying to see, okay, well, what days am I actually going to go in? Where can I fit my running into that day? It's now hot as Hades out here. So that's going to have to be a lunch run, or it's going to end up being on the treadmill that night. As much planning as I can do, I am on like Sunday looking at my week ahead to say, here's what the week looks like. And I just try to plan around that as much as I can, knowing, of course, things are going to happen. That morning run isn't going to happen. It's too hot in midday. Now I'm unfortunately doing 3 miles on a treadmill. Accept it, move on, because tomorrow is literally a new day.
Yeah. How are you gonna, it's what, June 10th. So, you have another four months at least of stupid heat and stupid humidity. So what does that look like going forward for you?
Yeah. So, weekends are just start that long run early. Like tomorrow's a 6:30 start just cause we're doing like a big group, like we're doing a brunch and run tomorrow, a long run and brunch. So, but normally like myself weekends, I'd be out the door 5:15, 5:30 at the latest, because even as that, and just being in Austin, that 5:30 in the morning, it's already 75 degrees, and
humidity hits at like mile one or mile two or something like that. Once that sun starts coming up, it's crazy.
Yeah, the humidity is already in the 70s at 6 a.m. It's in the 80s by 7 a.m. So as you know, weekends, you know, I'm starting early. Weekdays, same, you know, mentality. Just, you know, that can't always happen because, you know, life and work. So some of that just turns into like treadmill runs during the week. So if it's a, just call it 3 miles easy, last thing I want to do is run 3 miles on a treadmill. That I'm just not a fan of treadmills, but it's easy, so I'll do it. If it's a repeat day, it's, I just have to plan better about doing that in the morning, because I'm not going out at, you know, 6 p.m. and doing. So I've done that with, you know, my own training groups, or being a part of training groups years past. And I just ran myself in the ground, got burned out, because they were, you know, Tuesday, Thursday, 6 p.m. runs, doing hill repeats in Texas for a September race. Did not go well. So if it's not a treadmill or early in the morning, it's not happening.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I trained for my first marathon through the heat. It was in, my marathon was in August of 2019. So It started in the spring, right whenever it got stupid hot, and it just continued out throughout summer. So that was
right.
Yeah, yeah, I know how that is. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've had a coach who, and I mean, like many coaches, and I do this even with my own group. And this, you know, getting back to maybe how we're a little bit different, like, you know, I do get into a little bit of a coaching mentality in my group at times, and then I have to make sure I'm not leaning in too much, because, you know, it should be relaxed, kind of fun, but I want to make sure I'm not just going full coach mode. But where I was going is, like, I've had a coach in terms of heat tell me, like, you know, heat training is our Texas equivalent for, you know, training at altitude. So, you know, we're not in Denver. I'm like, yeah, part of that is you just, you know, being a coach and telling me, you know, what, you know, something to get us through this workout. I will say where I maybe believe a part of that is running Berlin, which is late September. So training through the Texas heat. And Berlin, you know, low 60s at the start, never cracked 70, and it was overcast, and had the best, you know, marathon I, you know, had. So some of that, maybe going from the heat to then cooler temperatures, my body was just, you know, primed for it. But, you know, if you don't, I mean, you know this, and anyone listening, if you don't plan wisely, and you have a hard workout, doing so when it's hot outside, like, the quality of your workout just suffers. So while you got the work in, you got the mileage in, like, the quality will not compound and show up later, you know, in terms of your performance in that next run, or, you know, over a couple of weeks, and especially not on race day, because, you know, you just, it's where your watch tells you it's unproductive versus productive.
Yeah. And that's where it takes something like what you're doing, you know, just, I mean, I don't think you have to have a newborn or like an infant, or, you know, have, you know, a wife, or like a bunch of other responsibilities. I think just having structure like you have, you know, knowing, okay, it's going to be super hot, or, you know, I have this going on this day and I can't miss like a workout. You know, I can maybe miss like a 4 mile run, but I should not be missing, you know, like an intense, like repetitive track workout or whatever. So structuring that, and, you know, finding whatever way possible, you know, if it's a treadmill, it sucks, but, you know, so be it, you know, finding some way to make that work. So you're getting that, those quality runs in, especially in Texas, in like the spring, summer, and fall, which is basically just one long summer.
Yeah. I mean, once we get into April, I mean, we're definitely in the 80s, hitting 90s a few days in April. And then, I mean, we'll have this heat through the end of September. We'll stay in the 90s through the first week of October. Like, it's just one long season.
So back to some of like the running group type stuff. So how do you walk that line between, you said that you kind of feel like you want to coach, you feel like you want to lead, you know, you want to be a group run leader, but not coach. Like, how do you walk that line? Like, how do you, like, what do the runners kind of, look up to you for, or do they look up to you for anything at all?
I mean, I think for me, I mean, it's an easy thing to accept. And I just tell myself, it's like literally kind of, I say meeting people, not meeting people where they are, but knowing that, you know, not everyone is training for their next PR. So, you know, for those who are, and it's to the message of trying to encourage people to come out. It's like, you know, come for the mile, stay for the conversation. Like, you know, something now, you know, on the front of like our shirts, we have kind of the same like run boss is kind of the thing we've leaned into. And it's like it's a mentality of like, what I say with it is, regardless of your mileage, your pace, whatever your PR is, like, I care, but I don't care, in the sense of like, simply being a run boss is like, you are being the boss of that workout. Like, when you finish, like, you have bossed that workout. Like, that's it. Like, you've given it your all. That doesn't mean going 100 miles an hour, you know, pedal to the metal. That just simply means that, like, you showed up for the workout. You did the number of repeats that were told or encouraged, not told, or you just simply got the workout in. Like, you just did the 3 miles and that's it. There was nothing special about it. You didn't talk yourself out of it. That's really kind of at the heart of it. It's like, you didn't talk yourself out of whatever the workout was. You didn't talk yourself out of even showing up to a workout where you knew no one and you're a stranger. And you told yourself repeatedly, maybe next week. No, you finally showed up and you just, you ran. Like, that's literally just be a boss, being responsible and owning what you can control. So just showing up. And in this case, it is the run, whatever that run may look like, a new run group, a run distance, a run pace, whatever. So towing that line of run coach, unless someone says, specifically ask me, what should I do? Or I can certainly hear in terms of they say they're doing something that I know is just going to either wind them, they'll end up injured or run them into the ground and, just tired, overexerting themselves, whatever have you. I'll kind of say, specific running things in or coach specific things in. Otherwise, it's just very like, let me get to know you. It is, again, run group leader in the sense of my intros are, here's the route, here's what today looks like, so on and so forth. You run the pace that feels good, your turns or XYZ, let's go. And within the run, unless someone says, hey, what do you think about, or I'm running this race and I know maybe a history of it, or I could give them a pointer or two. Yeah. I stay in my lane. So it's kind of like, unless someone asks me, I don't just start throwing out, like, oh, don't do that, do this and change that about what you're being told, kind of a thing. Cause I mean, that's just not where everyone is and wanting to, they want to dial it down a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And the whole run boss thing is, I like the idea behind that. And I think it takes a certain type of person to kind of foster that or like facilitate that, like, self-efficacy in somebody, because, and I say that cause I noticed, like, whenever I first started running, what was that, like 5 years ago, once I started getting a distance, people, maybe like it was something that the way I carried myself or, the way I spoke about running, but they would always come up to me, like people would say, I only ran, a mile this morning. I only ran 2 miles this morning. Mm-hmm. And that was something that I got kind of frequently. And then the past couple of years I've noticed, and I just realized it as you were saying this, that now people come up to me and they're like, they're giving me high fives. They're like, dude, I ran 2.5 miles this morning. Or like, I went out and bought new running shoes. I can't wait to start running in them. And it's just like a total different approach whenever people talk to me about running than, a couple of years ago. And I'm sure that, people like you that have had that positive energy around running and that leadership and like that run boss, like facilitating that run boss mentality is, I like that a lot. It's a cool way to look at it.
Yeah, I mean, running is, things with runners or Lululemon. I mean, there's a lot of this I get to lean into where you see it and it seems cliche, or it seems, those who reading it, it's just like, you see the stories of what people overcame in running from whatever their hardships may be. Mm-hmm. There are so many unfortunate examples to point to where you see those, and because those aren't people in our immediate circle sometime, it doesn't resonate with us as much. And so literally, I mean, and I don't get into this too much, certainly happy to here, but running literally, so and I'll just go ahead and get into it. So February of 20, losing, you know, my job at the time of February of 20, it being moved to LA, I stayed in Austin. We were 4 months prior to having a kid. I'm like, you know, oh, you know what? Daddy's unemployed for the first time in his life, or soon to be dad, and we have a kiddo on the way in 4 months. I have got to get a job. I never went into teaching, which was my undergrad, history, yeah, minor in coaching. So I was like, you know what? Now's the time I'm going to do it. So one of the fortunate things in that was I wound up getting kind of paternity leave because, you know, got the job in, you know, May and then started until August. So I had, with kiddo being born in June, I literally just had a lot of at-home time. But, you know, running took a backseat to a newborn there in June, to a new job. You know, I was at a Title I school. So for those that don't know, I mean, it's just, you know, it's a more challenging environment in terms of kind of student investment and parent involvement, you know, in education, let alone it being a pandemic where many weeks, literally days and weeks, I spent with kids virtual, teachers still needed to be on campus. So I spent it, you know, on Zoom talking to names on a screen because we could not require cameras on for both either grades or attendance, just as a matter of equity, because kids can see into each other's home, you couldn't require their camera be turned on. So I spent many days, you know, tie, jacket, dress shirt, whatever, in a room empty, minus myself, just talking into a camera for multiple days a week. So doing that long enough and also not getting any sleep with a newborn at home, you know, I was not in my best place. And when I say that, it's kind of the, like, I don't know to what scale that actually goes, but I know I was not in a good place from lack of sleep and the energy from being in sales for a long time to now going into a classroom where sales, you feel like you can close everything, you mm-hmm. don't. So when it comes to kids' education, you know, you want every kid to succeed, but mm-hmm. having to accept that, like, you know what, you know, for whatever reasons, not, you know, you may not reach that student. And that was extremely hard for me to accept, let alone in a pandemic where, you know, some kids are in hotels, some kids are homeless. You're wondering why they can't do their homework. Well, that's because they are literally, you know, in a car for the last 2 days sleeping or whatever the reason may be. Yeah. So running, when I got away from running as a result of that, and thankfully when I was able to, through job change, because pandemic teaching was just not, and I taught government economics and through, you know, political involvement and so on in Texas over the last year in our education, that created its own challenges. So I stepped away. But as I came back to running, when you said at the onset, like, I think I said I was going, I used something else, but literally running has, like, rejuvenated. When I say I was in a dark place, literally running has rejuvenated, like, my entire aura, being, energy. Where when I say, like, I go into a race and coaches say this, like, your race should just be a celebration of all the hard work. I mean, I am literally celebrating for the 3, you know, whatever miles in a 5K to 26.2, because running now serves a completely different purpose mm-hmm. coming out of those 2 years versus what running did for me prior to the pandemic. So pandemic's definitely been tough on everybody. I mean, it served us and impacted us all in different ways. It took me from something that I didn't know I loved or enjoyed as much, but now that I have a more flexible schedule, like, in doing it, I mean, holy cow, am I just in a far better place. And a lot of that energy I'm able to put not only at home, but back into the running group and in what we're trying to do, you know, in the community as a whole.
Yeah. What are your goals for the community right now? But I mean, I know you said you want to make it into an Austin running scene, but yep. You know, what, you have any other goals with St. Elmo's or with Austin running?
I mean, St. Elmo is going to go through some, like, rebranding the second half of the year to give us, you know, basically just a presence beyond our immediate neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So even, like, with Run Balls as a mentality, you know, you'll start to see things that are kind of a, you know, and I don't want to give anything away, but, you know, Run Balls as an example would be like Run Balls by St. Elmo. So there'll be efforts, initiatives, causes by St. Elmo that we're getting involved in. So with some of the, you know, either through ambassadorships or partners, as I mentioned, like Lululemon or Patagonia Austin, you know, the Loop, Fleet Feet, and others here in Austin, like doing things that are that are unconventional for run groups. So it's not the, we meet this day at this time and run this distance and we hang out if you're available afterwards. I mean, that's just the bar. So, you know, we are really trying to like integrate in the, you know, experiences around running that touch on just different aspects of people's lives for wherever they may be. So there's a lot of that in terms of our goals for the second half of the year. You know, beyond running, it's like getting more into like fitness, health, you know, expanding on, you know, just the title, you know, St. Elmo Runners. Like we want to like that become, and it through its, you know, kind of change will expand on what we do per se. So, I mean, that's certainly a big goal. I mean, I want to, you know, there will be one effort in that to like recruit people who want to take on their first, you know, half or even full. And again, to my point, it is about finishing. Times are certainly in my own world. Like I'm not necessarily chasing times. I know I said in running CIM and one in run Boston, that's a time specific goal I need to reach.
That's for you, not for everybody else.
Right. Exactly. So through my running group, I'm not preaching to, you know, 6 to 8 by 400 meter repeats. Like we literally don't do repeats in the workout. It's like, here's the route, here's the distance. You turn back, you know, if we're doing 5 miles, turn back here for 2, here for 4. Otherwise we're running this at 5 at your pace, whatever feels good. That's the workout. That's basically the gist of how they are handled. So it's not a, we're doing these heel repeats multiple times, which those serve a purpose and they're great. But you know, 5Ks are, you know, doable for most with, you know, 8 weeks of work, you know, a 10K, you know, 12 weeks of work, you know, a half marathon, you know, 16 weeks or so, and a full 18 to 20. Again, if you, you have the time and depending on where your fitness is. So, you know, we are, we actually have a group that is taking on CIM this fall. Many of them are either first half, half marathoners or full, because CIM has a full marathon relay. So we have a number of half marathon newbies who are partnering to run it together, or some who are taking on the full, or some are going like for their moonshot, like myself, and trying to run, you know, whatever their fastest time is. So, you know, that's the goal, is to make, to help people become uncomfortable in terms of running in distances they didn't think they could ever run, at times that they have decided upon, not that I've said, I really think you can run this, but what they say, you know, I want to run, or just otherwise, you know, location. So in this case, it would be like a destination race, and, you know, we make an event around that. So, you know, that's the goal, is to get beyond the running group and to start really leaning into causes that matter to people every day. So when people are, you know, I consume a lot of political news. And so when we talk about like kitchen table issues, like I want the running group to, regardless of political party, and not that we speak to those issues. And well, we speak to the issues within our group. We provide like resources for people to become better informed in having either representatives or, you know, nonprofit, you know, officials, whoever that may be, actually present to say, like, here's what we stand for, here's what we do, if you want to learn more, X, Y, Z. So, you know, it's, again, it's just trying to create almost panel-like sessions within a run group. You know, maybe they lead us out on the run, they help us close, whatever it looks like, but it's going to look a lot different for us this second half of the year. Because again, I mean, we're just at places with, you know, either with, you know, loved ones, you know, we've all been through, like I said, a lot with this pandemic the last couple of years. And thankfully, you know, things have improved to allow us to get back to some sense of normalcy, new normal, as it said. But with that, we can't disregard all that we've been through. And so there's if it's mental health services, you know, if it's people do the skyrocketing rents who have unfortunately become homeless as a result of this, like those are issues that have to, you know, be acknowledged, because we live it, we drive past it, we walk past it. We ourselves are impacted by it, and the affordability of, you know, from food to gas to housing, like So what you know as a run group in its normal sense, like, will become just a small part of like what we do. Like, we're showing up to run, but surrounding ourselves in this particular topic this week.
Interesting.
So it's gonna be a little bit different.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, that's a really interesting way to like organize a group. I think it's probably one of its kind. At least, never heard of anything like that.
It's well, I mean, that would certainly be great. It's I mean, I described my, you know, 2 year kind of experience from job loss to new kids, to new job, to what a whirlwind that was, to, you know, Texas legislature and its involvement, especially in social studies departments across, you know, well, the state, and we saw across the country, and, you know, living through that, to leaving, you know, again, it's there's a sense of like, you know, doing it for the kids that, you know, you don't want to give up.
Yeah.
But then, as we all talk about, until, you know, we have to make that decision, there is the like doing what's best for yourself, which is a hard place to reach. But that, yeah. I mean, you know, I had to come to that place just given where I was.
Yeah.
So I had to step away. So, you know, thankfully in doing that, I've landed in another, you know, a place that is back in my sandbox, and has given me like the flexibility to like go full steam ahead on a lot of things.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So, kind of back to like what you were just kind of mentioning about, you know, more like political, social type stuff. I kind of wanted to ask you about, so like the representation in running, you know, you are a Black man and white, and Austin is a very white dominant, especially the running community. It's a very white dominant, like, just sport. So like, do you have any experiences that you want to, like, you want to touch on? Because I'm kind of interested in, on what that might be like.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's become, you know, a lightning rod issue in like the last couple of years, but, mm-hmm. You know, to my, and I'll certainly speak to it, to my upbringing, like, you know, certainly race was noticeable from, you know, adolescent age through, you know, adulthood. And there's a lot of that I certainly let go of, and you do with age, mm-hmm. Because you let go of like those chains of feeling like, you know, you are a victim in some sense, to just an acknowledgement of like, nope, there's still some of this that exists today. So there's, mm-hmm. you know, those things are always competing with, am I making more out of a particular issue than what is here? Or am I being oblivious to what is happening? And so when I think about like, you know, all you said it, like Austin's running community, you know, I think less than two, to be generous, maybe even less than one, but I'll use two to be generous, less than 2% of the Austin population is Black in Austin.
It's 2%?
Less than 2%. So,
oh, wow. I didn't realize it was that low. So me coming from Houston, I'm just used to like extreme diversity. And then when I went to Austin, I knew that it was way less diverse, but I did not realize that it was that much of a lack of diversity.
Yeah. So I have family in Houston, and I love Houston. One, for that reason of just how diverse it is, that you can go into, you know, almost any but many communities and just see a intermingling of people who do not look alike, don't talk alike, don't dress alike. And I just, not sheltered, but just to my upbringing where that was not the case. Yeah. Now, again, as an adult, absolutely love that intermingling of cultures and experiences and stories and just so on and so forth. So, you know, again, to my, you know, upbringing, which I've alluded to a few times, like, you know, for Killeen, Harker Heights, where I'm from, Fort Hood, not far, you know, for those, you know, that are familiar, but, you know, not projects, but close to and predominantly Black, 99% Black neighborhood, police come in the neighborhood. It's certainly, you know, police patrolling the streets kind of a thing. People who are up to no good, thankfully did not, unfortunately, like some, you know, fall victim to just some of the things, either drugs and others and crime that were happening around me, certainly influenced by it through middle and high school, because, yeah. You know, absence of male figures in the home, to that statistic, you follow the crowd. And I was, I was one who did just that. So when I think about, fast forward and now as an adult, and, when I look at putting myself out there in Austin, as a, a Black run group leader who I've, as a run group leader, have kind of avoided intentionally or unintentionally the representation point, in the sense of, if it comes up, and I will even speak to it within the running group, but I think like socially, in the way of like what we share out in terms of like St. Elmo. And I don't know if there's been any direct reason for it. It just, we've not been as intentional, and that goes to how that is changing for us the second half of the year, because if we make some people uncomfortable, so be it. There are people that we unfortunately lose as a result of it. We know that they, to the environment we wanted to create, where literally, as we say, everyone here is accepted, where some are rubbed the wrong way by it, then that contradicts what we feel. And, hopefully they find, a run group that, fits what they are looking for. So being one of the few, Black runners in Austin, I mean, I've run many neighborhoods with a pack of white people where I'm the only Black person in a group. And there is a small part of me where I'm like, I'm glad I am in a group of 20 or 30 white men and women, because running through this neighborhood of multi-million dollar homes, with no shirt on and so on, like, I could be seen as a threat to someone. Like, one that comes to mind, and this is where like the Ahmaud Arbery case, like,
yeah, that's what I was thinking of too.
Like, I literally thought, so, as a part of that, as an example, like, we're right now building a house. Like, I do all my visits to check up on construction Saturday morning, 10 a.m., before noon, when it is high noon, sun's outside, but I'm not going there at like 6 or 7 p.m. when it begins to get dark. And then I'm the only one at the house who's walking through it, and someone mistakes me, thinking, like, literally that stuff goes to the back of your mind, because someone could see me as a threat, where in a predominantly white neighborhood, in a predominantly white city, I could be seen as out of place or not where I belong, kind of a thing. So, and I don't think that's made up. Like, we unfortunately see examples of it. If it's a New York bird watcher who, gets the police called on them for watching birds, that, people change their entire tune to make themselves seem a victim or someone as a threat. Like, literally someone could turn a scenario like that on its head, and I could be seen as a threat to others. So what I do in the running group is I immediately try to break down like the walls, the barriers of I'm Black, you're white, kind of a thing, and not in the sense of like saying it that directly, but what people don't recognize is, like, when there are less of you represented in a community, and that's what we say, in a community, there is an element of you having to present yourself differently than yourself at times. So, if I go into a room and I'm the only Black person, like, I saw some of this when I went from Texas Southern, Houston, HBCU, historically Black college university, the Texas State, predominantly white campus. In the first couple of weeks, many times people thought I was there and just ran track and field. If I was out running, so on and so forth, people thought like I was there on a track and field scholarship. And I was like, I'm literally just here getting an education. some of the same when I moved to Austin. Like, I didn't go to UT. Wife went to UT for undergrad. I've had UT, gear swag at times, and ran with a UT shirt on. Someone thought I ran cross country for UT. Like, nope, just, just here paying a mortgage and my taxes, kind of a thing. So there is a sense of like having to change the narrative, and at times almost make others feel like comfortable to your, I'll call it Blackness. I'll use that. Making them feel comfortable to your Blackness in order for you to be comfortable, which sounds crazy on its face for anyone that isn't Black.
But there's
some of that that is like, there's some of that that's self-imposed. There is a large part of that that through life's experiences, And unfortunately, even at 22, examples where we still see some of those things playing out on the basis of someone's, you know, skin tone, you know, Buffalo a couple of weeks ago, New York City, people just grocery shopping where people are targeted by their zip code because they are Black. Like, I mean, when I see that and I go to the grocery store to pick up, like, you know, pouches for my kid or something, or dog food for the dog, like, that is now a thought that happens because mm-hmm. you don't hear those, you know, same stories of people being targeted by their skin tone who are, you know, not Black. If it's Buffalo or if it's, you know, Hispanic people being targeted in El Paso Walmart. So it just yeah. outside of, you know, those who, you know, are Black, it is certainly a conversation that not everyone understands. I've always appreciated, and you yourself as one who have not avoided the conversation.
Yeah.
Who welcome the conversation. I see being able to learn as much as I am being able to, you know, express myself with any opinion. Like I want to learn mm-hmm. and I know, like yourself, like we are literally trying to learn from each other. And I think that's the best thing everyone can do. Like, you know, why do you think you're holding on to that? Like, you know, that isn't happening anymore. Why do you still believe that? I believe in, you know, fruitful dialogue and not just a matter of like rapid fire opinions without listening to each other. So when mm-hmm. it comes back to a run group, like that's literally when I say we get into profound topics.
Yeah, I'm nothing but time.
This. Yeah, exactly. Like, look, we're going out for, you know, a 10-mile run, you know, tomorrow. 10 miles, you know, we're going to get through the what race are you training for next pretty quickly. So yeah. I'm going to dive into, you know, the kid at home, the job, but then also like, you know, some just the personal side of, you know, what you may share or what I can sense. And I'm just going to dig into, because I'm like, I mean, if we're talking about community, like there's community relationships, like we don't get there by just talking about superficial things. So yeah, that's just more of a leaning into that I have to do, and I've started to do. And the run group, you know, has taken on that personality as well, where, you know, it's not just, you know, we're doing X by X, you know, 400 meter kind of thing. It's like, you know, everyone's taking that, you know, investing, engaging, yeah. as I say.
Yeah. Well, it's good that you're in that position to, you know, kind of put forward some of those experiences, those opinions or perspectives, instead of you just being you're in a different position than somebody who's just a runner within a group. You're the leader of the running group. So it's good that you're in that position, because I don't think that there are any other, I mean, I don't think I ran with more than, I can't even think of a person off the top of my head that was like a Black runner in Austin in the community, really. I mean, I can't really think of anybody. Like I had Black friends, but they were not in the running community. So like it was, yeah. just, it was so white. And then, yeah. So I appreciate you sharing that. That was interesting perspective on that. So.
Yeah. I mean, one part, and I said earlier, like intentionally or unintentionally of not leaning into, you know, the not narrative, but the storylines of, you know, being a Black runner, yeah. You know, some of it has you and I'm sure many can understand when I say this and some won't, but in a city where the Black population is so small, imagine you are in any space, X number of people does not matter, but you're anywhere where you and yourself, either as a white man, white woman, Black man, Black woman, whatever that may be. And there's less than 2% of that room that looks like you. But outside of that room, the conversations in the community are, you know, equal pay for equal work, women in the workplace, LGBT rights, Black man, Black woman, you know, Black people being targeted. So you have all these conversations happening around you, but within the room, like those are not the conversations yeah. that are happening. So as you possibly make a decision to acknowledge and lean into, let's say yeah. I then start putting forward a lot of like, you know, Black marathoner, running while Black, you know, kind of, you know, posting that socially or so on, there is a feeling of like outward looking you know, are people going to think I'm only doing this for attention? Or will people appreciate me doing this because they want to be a part of, one, the solution and the conversation?
Yeah.
And no, it's not a matter of, you know, he's just trying to grab attention. Because I could literally care less about the attention that comes with it. Like, if you show up to a run, like if our run group becomes, you know, 150 people, so be it. You know, I want to be able to talk to every person on the run, just back to my managerial style. Like, I almost see it as one-on-ones throughout the week that I have. Like, I literally want to talk to every person and hear their story. So as a boutique running group, as I call it, if we're only 25, you know, on a weekday, that is great. Because I can hear what everyone's going, what's going on within my team, my org, my business. So back to leaning into like the running while Black, there is this assessment of, you know, enough people seeing it as doing it for the reasons of wanting to create a more like vibrant place, as opposed to just latching on to every other city and run group or person who is talking that same, you know, talking point or track or whatever have you. But that is the last thing. But I just think it's, life is at a place where, you know, cannot worry about those things anymore. And it's now at a place of like trying to be informative, engage, bring people into the conversation as much as, you know, they can bring me into it, you know, where it makes sense, or we figure out, we find these things out together. Like, that's the environment that needs to be created. And doing so in Austin, like, I know there are certainly other Black runners in Austin. You know, I would love to meet more of them. You know, there is one idea I have, and, you know, if it's Houston Tellison, which is a historically Black college here in Austin, you know, doing community runs in East Austin, where, for those that don't know Austin, I-35 literally split Austin in half, still splits it, you know, geographically, but Black people and Hispanics had to live east of I-35. White people had to live west of 35. So initially, the Texas State Cemetery, east of 35, only Black people were buried in that house, in that cemetery. You could not be buried in West Austin. So, you know, a lot of the Black population, original, I guess, Black population and Hispanic population of Austin is still east. So our long run this weekend is purposely running into East Austin. At one point we passed.
Oh, I love that George idea. That's so good.
Yeah. At one point we passed the George Washington Carver Museum. There's a historic sign out front that talks about segregation and so on. Like, so we are purposely running East Austin, because I know we love the trail in Austin. We love running West Austin's hills, but we don't get into like East Austin as much in terms of like our run group or other run groups. So at this weekend, you know, we're going to, you know, go venture a little bit.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that, because as you say that, I'm just thinking of, you know, the thousands of miles that I ran in Austin while I was there. I don't think I was ever on a single group run except for maybe like a 20 mile long run, or like the Austin half marathon that went through like the east side of town.
I don't think
I ever ran east of 35 really.
And Austin Marathon, incredibly hard race. I mean, it's a month after Houston, so you'll see a lot of people shoot up to Houston, because, you know, Houston is, you know, certainly a lot more flat. But, you know, besides that point, I mean, Austin Marathon only changed its course to run East Austin, you know, in a few short years ago. You know, prior to that, I mean, they weren't going deep into East Austin, which some of those streets, you know, we'll hit as a part of our long run. So that, I mean, that's the idea, is to start bringing, I guess, call it the experiences, the education through the miles that we're running, as opposed to just here's the route and we're running, you know, up and down South Congress or Lady Bird Lake around the trail. It's like, no, we'll go past some historical markers. We'll go past, you know, the original, you know, Texas State Cemetery and some of these others, just, you know, so there's that historic element of like how Austin has evolved over time. And, you know, I really believe in like not shying away. And some of this came from like being in education since leaving, where it was said certain topics could or could not be covered in the classroom. And that was its own lightning rod issue. But, you know, imagine standing there, you know, imagine standing there as a Black person speaking to slavery or whatever those issues may be, if it's Black Wall Street in Tulsa, where then you, nationally the conversation is, you know, we should not be teaching those things. And I'm like, at the end of the day, I'm teaching state, you know, approved curriculum, but my mentality is such of the belief of like, we can all learn from what we've been and how we have come so far and can continue to evolve, as yeah. opposed to like, you know, sheltering ourselves away from passing, like this weekend, the George Washington Carver, you know, Museum, and how that was one of the segregated schools in Austin, Texas. And so that's where Black students had to go. They were not yet integrated. Yeah. So again, we'll, you know, that's, you know, we will learn in these miles this weekend.
Yeah. That's, I really love that idea. So I wish I could be there to run it with you.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you about, you mentioned, and actually this, I had it right here, actually. This.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this. So for people, yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody's gonna be watching this on video, but I have a Runner's World magazine that came out right after I moved to Spokane, and it's got a picture of PJ Thompson himself running on the Greenbelt in Austin, Texas. Yeah. And I was like, what in the heck? How did this happen? What? I was just so, and I go to the store up here in Spokane, Washington, and I see my buddy PJ on the cover of a magazine at the Safeway. How does that happen?
That, man. So, and this goes to like, even like getting into ambassadorships with brands, like brands want to have a local presence. Like, and so this literally is where it started. Like I was wearing a lot, and this was like in my trail running, you know, season. So I was wearing a lot of Patagonia. Mm-hmm. You know, I love one from their CEO down. I love just the way their stance on, you know, different issues that, again, to a community and as a human and as a, you know, global and nationally, you know, being like that we are all facing. And so from CEO down, their corporate stance, corporate responsibility to the store level, of giving like employees a day off on election day to whatever have you. Yeah. So I was all in for their, what they do. Anyway, so they reached out, the store here in Austin and the brand reached out in asking about like an upcoming spring line and whether or not I wanted to do it. Absolutely. Like
a photo shoot? Out,
yeah, doing a photo shoot. Absolutely. I mean, I'm out running. I'd be happy to do it. So as we go out to the Green Belt, it was after a heavy rain, which was awesome because as you, and for those that have seen cover, like, I mean, it is heavy rain from the night before. So the it's flow such a good, is great.
Yeah. So this, for those that are listening, this is September 2020.
Yep.
Yeah. So you guys can check that out. And yeah, it's a crazy awesome picture.
Yeah. So, I mean, was it Faith Robbins who with Patagonia took that photo? She was laughing because I think we kind of wrapped up the shoot per se. And then I saw that flow of water. It was kind of just like an instant thinking. Like I wasn't like, okay, ahead of time thinking we got to get these kind of shots. Like that was her sandbox. Just, you know, point me in the right direction, tell me where I need to be. But mm-hmm. with this one, I was like, I'm gonna get a shot out there. So I'm literally kind of, as I'm navigating to get out to the middle of it, before running back or jumping stone to stone back, I mean, she, you know, not biting her nail, but she certainly is just like, you know, probably had the thought of like, my insurance doesn't cover this if you fall in this kind of thing, maybe. But I mean, she got those shots. Runner's World, you know, they then reached out and putting on the cover, and Coach Jess, who she and I run the Runner's World coach account now, and after a few interviews with them, was fortunate enough one to be involved with them, but then she was visiting Austin and dropped that cover like as a part of like a completely unrelated shoot. So I didn't even know she had that with her, and that certainly was a, I mean, not even a moment, that feeling still, you know, exists in terms of like I'm just out running. I'm literally just out. It is a happy place, my solace, you know, my mental well-being is better in not going more than 3 days without know, without running. Yeah. So to be on anyone's cover or shared on anything socially, or have the opportunity to, you know, speak to you on a podcast, like, I mean, it's certainly beyond appreciative. And it's just like, all right, well, with the opportunity, I mean, I have to lean into it and being myself, try to, one, learn first, listen first, learn, talk second, invest what I can in it, build community and all those things. But so, yeah, the Runner's World work with them has been awesome, because I am able to tap people and communicate with people who have amazing stories, who run for many multitudes of reasons, who are overcoming addiction, or, weight loss, or, left a profession such as myself, and running has rejuvenated them, like I said earlier, or they're going through a hard time in their life. Like, those are the ones that really, like, I mean, this is literally why I enjoy being given that opportunity to do working with them, because, I mean, people pour out, their profound stories, and you just cannot, to a human, help but appreciate people confiding in you, what they are dealing or have dealt with, and to that, opening up, giving you the opportunity to respond and share with them what you believe they should do or work through it. Like, that's an incredible position to be put in. So not one I at all take for granted, being able to tell someone, like, certainly, there's a lot, and here's how you can, navigate that or move that. And that's where a lot of, like, just my, like, management kind of comes in, and working with people. I've, one, again, went to school for history and minor in coaching, never thought I would be in sales. So I'm not, like, a big resume person. I am a, like, what's your investment? What can you do? What is your commitment? And not saying, like, what on paper you should do, but instead, like, action over, inaction kind of a thing. Like, so when people tell me, like, here's what I'm dealing with, like, my mentality is like, let's work on this together kind of a thing. Cause for five days a week, that's my day job. Like, working with people is like, all right, we got to work on this together in order to improve. So when it comes to running, now on a physical standpoint, same thing. All right, like, here's what we're working through. Or here's a goal you're trying to reach, whatever that may look like. We are literally in this together.
Yeah.
So it's not outside my comfort zone when I think of work in the same sense.
Yeah. Well, that's an amazing platform. And I honestly, maybe think of a couple of people in the Austin running community that would deserve that kind of platform that you got, because, so what, you said that you and Coach Jess, I believe, are doing work with Runner's World out of Austin. So what kind of work are you guys doing with them?
So I'm here in Austin. She is in New York. And a lot of it is, while for Runner's World, a lot of it is actually, like, the Runner's World community. So Runner's World subscribers, Runner's World Plus. So for those who have subscribed to the magazine and have a Plus membership, we do a lot of, like there's a community page where, any and all questions get thrown into that community page, where her and I, along with Jeff, the editor, we're responding to those. Sunday newsletters where we're, speaking to pretty lengthy topics that have come up, or, are top of mind and timely to their social media in, through the direct messages that are nonstop, or just posting, tips and certain things throughout the week and month. So right now we're in, I think, day 11 of the Runner's World Run Streak. So they do one in the summer, one in the fall. So it's basically run a mile every day between Memorial Day and 4th of July. So, we're 11 days into that, and it literally is like, just run a mile. Like, two nights I've already had to revert to the treadmill, because that day's run was, detoured by, just life. So it's literally like, however you get your mile, just get it done. Almost back to that run boss mentality of, like, whatever the workout, just be the boss of that workout, be in control, own it. And so her and I, it's a lot of, we did, do different Instagram lives where we, or different platforms where we have Plus members on, hearing their story, speaking to them on like coach specific and like topic specific stuff, but a lot of it, a lot of it is like hearing their story and what running has done for them or what it provides to them. So it's more of that angle.
So it's more of like a, you're just connecting more within the running community, essentially, especially the subscribers. So, do you have any like plans that you're going to be, any plans with Runner's World and with Coach Jess?
Yeah. So great segue, totally unplanned for those that were listening. but, like next week I'm headed up to, great old Duluth, Minnesota for, Grandma's Marathon. So I'm doing kind of this Runner's World tour, something I cooked up, and they were like, sure, let's do it. So we were in Boston in April. I went to the Magnolia Silo half in Waco, Texas, a couple months ago. We'll be in Duluth for Grandma's, next week here in June. We'll head out to Oaktown in Sacramento, or in Oakland, in September, and then Chicago, and ultimately CIM in December, where in each one it's meeting with Runner's World Plus members.
That's so cool.
Who are there. So kind of an extension beyond just the subscription to like meet people in person, which we just don't always have the opportunity to do. So the idea that really where I wanted to tie that, bring that home for them was like, where I want to go are places that are outside just the major. So New York, Chicago, LA, you know, Tokyo, Berlin, London. Well, LA is not a major, but go to the races like Grandma's. It's been around forever. You know, people go down, you know, go there to throw down some serious heat and try to qualify. You know, it's the Magnolia Silo in Waco. You know, we all know, you know, with the whole Magnolia brand, what that's done for Waco, so how big that's become. You know, Oaktown, you know, again, Oakland, you know, people think LA in terms of California, Oakland, you know, that's not the, call it the top of mind race people are thinking of going to when they think I'm going to California. And then CIM, we always hear about CIM as a great end of year race. So the idea is to be like a running, well, a tourist when there. So what I'll profile for them is, you know, the local running store is one. So, you know, I'll hit up like Mill City Running, Duluth Running Company this coming weekend. So hit up the local running stores, the restaurants that you have to go to when you're carb loading or the coffee shop. You know, if there is a gym or so that you know, you're going to for compression or whatever, a cold tank. So kind of covering these non-major race cities from like through a runner's perspective for people who, when they are traveling there. So that's the idea. So yeah, great, great question and segue. So that's literally next week where I'll be.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I really wanted to run the Grandma's Marathon this year, but I just was not ready for it. Yeah, I'm kind of jealous that you've heard that. That race is amazing. But I love that you said that you go to like restaurants and like bagel shops for people that are carb loading, because of course me as a sports nutrition guy, sports nutrition coaching, and like, that's a big part that people overlook. So I'm glad that you're like having some kind of presence and involvement with like the actual nutrition side of it leading up to the race and whatnot. So
yeah, I mean, I certainly can use help there, and thankfully I'm talking to the right person, talking to you, and I know we'll, you know, get into that later in other times. But you know, some of that is, you know, when people are outside of their own home, outside of their own kitchen, outside of the grocery store that they are convenient and know the aisles where everything is located. And okay, now I'm on a, now I'm not only in a car, I'm on a plane and I've traveled to another city, another time zone, whatever have you. And I'm not familiar with these streets, these restaurants, the grocery store. And while it sounds simple, like, you know, where I go to shop or pick up, you know, you know, certain things, like, so it's getting people out of the comfort zone, but trying to say, like, you know, if you're doing Grandma's, if you're doing Oaktown, if you're whatever CIM, you know, here are the coffee shops, the restaurants, you know, the, you know, a place that has compression boots for recovery later on outside of like the post race finisher area, you know, maybe a great place to go brunch and celebrate. Like, that's literally trying to cover it from that perspective.
Yeah, that's something that I've seen a lot with, you know, my own clients is, you know, once they're traveling, it's not, I mean, it's all essentially the same. There's all restaurants, there's grocery stores, but you're so out of your routine that everything is so unfamiliar that just the smallest things like what should I be eating just seem so much more difficult. And then of course you have like the race day itself. So you're on the course and you either are not sure what they're going to be offering on the course, what they're going to be having after, or like maybe you just don't like what they have. So that's something that I love nerding out on with my clients. Okay, send me this picture of this menu, or like what restaurants you think, and let's talk about some things you can have. You know, let's talk about some items that are easy to have in a hotel room, or, you know, on the go if you're driving out 2 days before your race, you know. So
anyways. Yeah, a big one I overlooked or had overlooked before was planning for hotels that actually have a refrigerator, which is not very common, but
anymore.
At home, I mean, you can pull the fruit out the refrigerator. You know, you have the pantry or, you know, the cabinet where with a toaster, you can get the bagel or so in the morning. Mm. So you have to actually look at, you know, what are the restaurant hours at the hotel or the counter hours at the hotel? Like, do they even have a refrigerator? Where am I going to get fruit from? There may not be, you know, anywhere close, may not be in a convenience store. So all the things, you know, trying to cover in this case.
Yeah. What else did we, I mean, we're almost an hour and a half into this thing. So what else did we not touch on when it comes to, you know, running, runner's world, you know, diversity type stuff? Is there anything that we missed?
I think one that I'll just lightly touch on, but just with some of the other like ambassador, you know, work, I know I mentioned like Patagonia Austin. I have, you know, not mentioned as much of the Lululemon work in doing that. And certainly not a self brag, but what I think, you know, what I'm really kind of for people wanting to say is, you know, not putting it out of your mind to believe that with these big brands, you could actually get involved, because, you know, these are just opportunities that came along through my literal of just wearing their stuff and running a lot. Or running consistently, whatever that, you know, a lot consistently, whatever have you. But, you know, I think getting into those local communities, regardless of where you are, people have the opportunity to serve in those same capacities, and the resources that many of these brands, you know, all offer, support, you know, financially, which is a big one. But in their network as well, whatever your different goals are. So, you know, when you're traveling and they maybe have multiple stores, you know, there are teams you can connect with that will help you kind of carry out that mission. They have their own, you know, grants that they will provide you that support, you know, whatever cause that you are passionate about. And many now, you know, to their corporate responsibility, have specific causes that, you know, they're already funding that you may find, you know, identify a line directly with what, you know, you are already doing. So I think that's kind of the other thing. Just, I was surprised by that. I knew Patagonia and those that know them, you know, they certainly, that's a stance they regularly take. Less clear of that when I thought about like Lululemon as a brand. And I think we see a lot of brands now taking this like corporate responsibility, these steps, from a matter of it being beyond just popular, but something that they have to do. You know, it represents their employees directly. You know, when they call people ambassadors, brands are getting beyond the level of just the celebrity or sports figure as an ambassador. That's great. You know, when, you know, regardless of the brand, they're trying to sell more of the product, but to the common person, which I am, and, you know, I feel like everyone has this opportunity, is, you know, the local stores operate almost independently at times, where they want locals to be involved, and that they can connect with to show to the local community, like, we're here, and we support things you do. Our employees live here. So I guess I'm just encouraging everyone to, if they're not already, there are communities you can create, just like, you know, my own run group, creating maybe one of your own, getting into these brands and finding out how y'all can work together to, you know, elevate causes that, you know, are important to you and, you know, your community.
Yeah. I think that's kind of like the whole aura of PJ. That's my whole take. Like ever since I've known you, it's always been like community, connection, you know, just like positivity. And I think, yeah, I would agree. Yeah. And I've definitely, you know, I see Rock Patagonia all the time. I know you hooked me up with some Lululemon one time, which was awesome. I still race in those. So
yeah, man.
All right. Well, I mean, that's a great way to end this thing, I think. I want to give a personal shout out to St. Elmo's Runners, of course, you know, amazing run group in South Austin. Of course, I have to give a shout out to the Morning Joes and November Project also. Like those three are like the core of the Austin running community, at least I think. Do you want to go ahead and share your contacts? So like your social media, your any other official like times that you're rolling things out or anything like that?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm on Instagram as PJ_ThompsonATX.
Yeah.
You can find St. Elmo Runners there, just as St. Elmo Runners, and with the Runners World work there, you can find me under the Runners World Coach account. So, you know, at least socially, that's, you know, everywhere. And same goes on TikTok for St. Elmo Runners and PJ Thompson, actually on TikTok as Run Austin, which was fortunate enough to snag that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it. I mean, I'd say just look, as I alluded to, like, we're going to look different than, you know, just the running group that you show up for and share miles with. Like for Austin, Texas, leaning into this message beyond, you know, when it just seems to be popular, but, you know, 24/7 and around the clock will become our norm. And so I just say, you know, tell people to look out for that. But yeah, thanks again for the opportunity to come on, to catch up,
yeah, man,
to hear how well things are doing. And just am glad to be able to spend some time and, you know, certainly for your community, you know, share a little bit of what I'm up to and what's happening in Austin.
Yeah, man, it's been really awesome. And kind of announcing that we will be doing a few more podcasts in the future, in the near future, some more short episodes regarding some like nutrition for runners, especially those getting into like the Texas heat and, you know, just all the races coming up. So we'll have some more from us. So all right. Thanks, PJ. Appreciate it. I hope to talk to you soon.
Yeah. Thanks, Nick. Take care, man. See you all.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Nutrition with Nick podcast. Don't forget to share and rate this podcast in your streaming platform of choice. If you're interested in talking with me about how nutrition coaching can help you reach your performance and health goals, reach out to me at nutritionwithnick.com and fill out a coaching application. Also, you can follow me on Instagram at nutritionwithnick. Until next time.